It's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. A big thank you to all of our EPPs out there who have kept our show on the air. As our show has continued to grow over the past year, so have the costs of keeping it going. Bandwidth, studio fees, all of that fun stuff that goes along with producing a professional radio show every single day of the week. So if you enjoy the show and you want to keep this thing going for another year or two or three or four or much longer than that, please consider becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person at Real Ghost Stories Online. You get a bonus episode of the show sent to you every single week and access to our past archive of bonus episodes as well. Lots and lots of those there and some exclusive video material as well. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting the show, keeping it on the air. And it also gives you the satisfaction of knowing you're contributing to something you actually enjoy, Real Ghost Stories. Please consider signing up on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it's Tony Brewski. Jenny has the night off. Tonight we're going to take a retrospective look at some of the best calls we've gotten in and do some new talking about them, new reviews, new thoughts, since we've had some time to let these calls absorb and digest in our minds, and we've heard more stories and have more perspective to share on some of them. If you want to call into the show, the phone number is 855-853-4802. You can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So lots of ways to get into us. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Couple ways to get your real ghost stories to us. Of course, if you'd like some fresh, brand new stories you've never heard before, consider becoming an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. You'll immediately get access to our archive episodes of EPP episodes. Lots of those there. Exclusive video content as well. And get your ghost story fixed that way as well. And plus, you're supporting the show. You're keeping it going. That's what the EPP program is all about. It's about keeping the show on the air, really. We are a listener, basically funded show. So check that out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's kick off the show tonight with a call from Robert in Utah.
Hi, Tony. This is Robert from Utah. Excuse me. I called the other day with about my daughter's old hag syndrome. I haven't heard that one yet because I'm still about 30 episodes behind. But I did work at an Army depot in eastern Oregon that I had some things happen at. Three separate stories I want to give you, but not all at once because I don't want to inundate the show with my stories. The first one here is kind of short, so I'll give you some detail. Okay, this was in eastern Oregon. And Eastern Oregon is much different than what you think of Portland. Portland is trees and it's forest and this and that. You get about 40 miles east of Portland and it turns into like sandy desert. Like with tumbleweeds, like in the cowboy movies, when you see a tumbleweed roll across the plains, that kind of desert. I never saw so much sand without a beach. So, but anyhow, this base was built in 1941 as part of our ramp up into World War II. And it had a trail running across it. Some people thought it was Oregon Trail, but that was a couple of miles away. I think it was Stagecoach Trail. I started there in 2003. And when you're first there, you do... There's only a couple of patrols that you have because you have to have a clearance because this base stored and they were destroying chemical munitions, you know, mustard gas, stuff like that. Stuff that had been there probably since the 60s. Oh, another thing is, okay, people don't realize it, but the United States manufactured chemical munitions for World War II because the thinking was that if Germany used it again, we were going to. Which didn't happen, so the stuff just sat. So anyhow, they were destroying it. They had a demil plant and were going to destroy it. At that point, it was still being built. It hadn't been done yet, but there were only a couple of patrols to do. So I'm in the administration area one night doing my patrol, And part of that was checking buildings, checking vehicles, you know, make sure that things are locked up. So I go to the headquarters building, which it was a square building, couple stories high, had a basement, and just a few doors. You went up a short flight of stairs, checked the main entrance, and in the meantime, you're checking windows, make sure they're shut, all that kind of stuff. And then I go around the side, and there's a sunken porch that leads to another door that when you come in, you either go to the left and down into the basement or up a short flight of stairs to the first floor and then the second. But so anyhow, I'm checking this, and I'd went and I checked the front door, and I'd been there, oh God, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months. I'd had this patrol before, you know, and I'm checking, and then I go around and I go into that little covered porch and go and check this other door. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I see a face, kind of just a white, misty, kind of nondescript face, just like right there and looking at me. And so, and I'd already checked the door, so I got the heck out. Never said anything to anybody. It was just weird. And then, and I hadn't heard like those stories or whatever, things like that from anybody out there. So again, I didn't say anything. And then probably another maybe 6 or 9 months later, I'm on the same patrol. Oh, and now of course, yeah, I'm a little wary because, you know, when I checked that door, it was quick, and I'd turn around and take, oh, and we were armed, but I'd turn around and I'd take off. I mean, because it's the government and because of the munitions and whatever, we were armed for that, to keep intruders out and stuff, because there was some serious stuff there. But like I said, probably, I don't know, about 9 months later or something, 6 to 9 months later, I'm on the same patrol and I'm checking those doors again. And I see, as you go up there, you go in there, all we did was, you know, you rattled the door, made sure it was locked. And I see off to my left, out of that basement area, a mist starts to form into the shape of a person. And I rattled that door real quick, and I took off before it could approach, because I had no idea. And it definitely was not a person, because this would have been, I worked graveyard shift, and this would have been like at 2 or 3 or something in the morning. There was nobody there. So, and that's the first story. All right, and then I'll call back with the others. And you can separate them into separate things or something, I don't know, but hopefully this came off well. All right, thanks, bye. Oh, love the show. Not an EPP yet, but I'm still running through the shows and haven't been able to yet. But love the show, love the format. And you two are great. And Tony, you are funnier than Jenny thinks you are with your little jokes. So don't let her tell you any different. All right? Bye.
I just keep telling myself that over and over and over and over, and somehow it doesn't seem to sink in with her. She doesn't seem to quite agree all the time. But thank you for the call and sharing that story with us. Do you think just the energy of the idea behind what he was guarding and behind what those products could have ended up doing had they been used would conjure up something? You know, I mean, I understand completely it was, you know, when these things were being made, it was wartime, it was in self-defense, it wasn't, you know, in you know, a malice of no cause or anything like that. It was for protection. I mean, so I totally understand that. But, I mean, just, you know, it was, they were being put together to kill other human beings. And that being said, just that energy and that intent, do you think that would cause hauntings or cause something to be there. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thought. I mean, you take everything else out of it, and you take, you know, the thought process, the politics of everything. You take all of that out of the equation. Just cause effect. Someone sees this or has contact with it, it would likely hurt them or kill them, no matter who that is. And no matter who it is producing it. I'm saying this could happen anywhere in the world. There's nothing to do with being political whatsoever. Just cause and effect here. You know, you jump in a fire. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. You're going to get burned. And if you stay in that fire, you will eventually die. Does that mean that then fires, flames, you know, could have something to do or could actually conjure something up by themselves as well? I don't know. Could just the energy or the product or whatever it may be that could cause extreme harm. Of course, you could argue almost anything could cause extreme harm if used improperly. But, you know, the more common things, chemicals of some sort, fire even, guns, weapons, things of that nature. Do they hold an energy charge to them on the spiritual side that is somehow attracting other things? That's what I ask. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, since these things had not been used and they were just kind of sitting there, he was guarding it and such, the thought process behind, you know, where or why would this be occurring? It's an interesting thought, and it kind of just puts you in circles. 855-853-4802. That's our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Gina, hi.
Hi, my name is Gina Perez. Pretty much in Arizona. Lived here my whole life, but I've also gone to California and gone to some of the hotels out there. I have three quick stories. The first one is kind of a happy, cheery sort of weird thing that's happened my whole life. Doesn't matter where I'm at. I've studied abroad. I've gone, you know, to different places around the nation. There's always something or someone that ends up telling me you'll be okay. So for example, I had just started college and I was a little, but I knew where I was going. So I was new to the town. I was just kind of exploring the downtown area, and I was just listening to my music with my headphones. I'm going over towards the back of a building, kind of just exploring the alleys, and there's also a nice little park near there. I was passing through the park, and on a bench, there was an old couple, an older man and an older woman. They kind of look like the type of couple that would just go out and feed the pigeons for fun. And, you know, I was just minding my own business, and I passed them. And they look up, and they said, "You'll find where you need to go. Just don't look so lost." And I was like, "What? Okay." And I walked just like maybe 5 or 6 steps, and I was like, "I'm just going to turn around again." And they were gone. I mean, they were pretty old, so probably would have taken them some time to get up and leave, but they were gone. And that's happened to me so many times. There's random people come up to me, homeless people, people on the beach, people in the city. Just me walking around in a bookstore, they will just come up to me and say something to that effect. And it's really strange. I kind of find it comforting. I may think that maybe it was like a guardian angel. I'm not particularly religious, so I'm not sure. And I'm not really close to any of the relatives that have passed away in my family, so I can't put a finger on that. So that's the first story. Second story is my experience with a haunted table that would float. this table was my best friend at the time in high school. Her grandmother lived across the street from her, and we went over to her house. It's a small, tiny house, and when you enter immediately, you went into the dining room next to the living room. And in the corner, there was this folded-up old poker table. Nothing special, no markings on it, just, you know, plain old wood. You know, one of those you just kind of pull out if you're going to have extra guests to eat dinner on. And then her grandmother was like, "Hi, what do you guys want to do?" And Mandy, that was her name, she was like, hey, let's pull out the table. I was like, wait, what? It was me, my friend, and my best friend. We were there, and she's like, okay. The grandmother said, okay. So she pulled it out. She unfolded it. She removed the original table that was there. And all she started doing was clapping at it. And while she was clapping at it, she told us to put our hands, maybe a finger or two on the table, and just concentrate on giving it energy. And so she started clapping at it, yelling, come on, let's go, get up, get up. And all of a sudden, the table started moving. And to this day, it's like, but did that really happen? But the table started moving and spinning in circles. And it's to the point where it was spinning and it didn't float. Apparently that day it really was a little sluggish, is what the grandmother said. But it got up to the point where it was just standing on one leg. And I swear, I didn't have my hands underneath it. Nobody else was touching it. The grandma was just clapping at it. She wasn't even touching it herself. We had our hand on it on the top of the table. And it was just the weirdest experience. I didn't really feel threatened or anything, but I honestly think that was the coolest, most paranormal thing I've ever experienced. And the third one is I was visiting the Hotel Carmel in Santa Monica, California, and it's really close to the beach, really pretty. We were on the second floor. I had heard that the second floor was the most haunted, that somebody had fell down the stairs during a fight and they died at the bottom of the second floor stairs. And I told my friend, do not go to the second floor. I really want to go to Santa Monica, but I kind of want to sleep. And, so we ended up on the second floor. She said that our reservations were messed up. I'm thinking she just did it on purpose. So I went on, so we went to sleep. That night, I had maybe a little too much to drink. And I thought, okay, with this much to drink in my system, I should not wake up. It was around the time of days that I was waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning or so every night, feeling a little weird. Well, doesn't matter how much I drank, I still woke up that night, and seconds before something happened, I just woke up like I had never been asleep to begin with. And the light turned on, and I left the TV on, because at the time I liked sleeping with the TV, it made me comfortable in foreign areas. And then the volume went up on the TV, and I was like, I don't like that. No. And I looked to my friend. She's sleeping in the bed with me, and she's like, asleep? There's no one here, isn't it? And there's two other people in the other bed in the room, and they're asleep. They're not getting up. And I'm just flabbergasted at the fact that they didn't see that the light turned on, and the fact that the TV volume went up. And I couldn't. I was like, I can't with this. And I just put my head under the blanket. And then all of a sudden, my friend freaked me out by touching my shoulder, saying, did you turn on the light? As soon as I went from under the cover, she was like, she told me that I looked like I had little spiders on my face or something. And I was like, no spiders. So, that morning when we all got up, we left, and I was talking about it, and I was like, look, I don't know what happened last night, but I really didn't like that. Like, I kind of wanted to sleep, and I had a lot to drink. And our friend's little girl was jumping on one of our beds, and the fan was on. Now, the fan had a button, and that button had to be pushed in order to start the fan. That fan, it turned off, but not in the way that you turn it off and it slowly stops. The fan turned off with the button still intact, indicating that it should be on, and the fan stopped in its tracks. Like, it didn't just slowly go. It stopped. And I looked at it, I'm like, what the hell just happened? And we were preparing to leave, so we were like, see ya, room. I don't want to be here anymore. It was the anticlimactic feel that I got out of that hotel, even though I really didn't want anything else to happen. So those are my three stories. I'm planning on becoming an EVP here pretty soon. I think this is an excellent show, and I am so tempted to just not hear any of your guys' show until I go on medication so that I have something to hear while I'm out. And, you know, because I binge on you guys a lot. You guys are awesome. I think you guys are hilarious. And, you know, a long time ago, you guys had that episode where you called shadow people who were like chicken nuggets or the ghosts were like chicken strips. And I I laughed so hard at that. Have a good day.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, or stories, I should say. It's one thing to have a ghost in your own home. What would you rather have? Would you rather be in a completely different environment that you're not familiar with and have a ghost, a ghostly occurrence, I should say? Or would you rather be in a comforting environment where you know your way around, you know your escape routes, if you will, because that is naturally something we think about, although a lot of times it's a ghost and there's nothing you can do about it. But we think fight or flight. And at least you are in a setting where you can go, oh, okay, my stuff is over here. I know I can get out that way. In a hotel sometimes, so you don't... It's new. It's different. And you're already maybe a little bit unsettled being in an environment you're not used to. Where would you rather have that happen? Because you got to weigh the pros and cons. Or you got to weigh the pros of, okay, at least in a hotel or something of that nature, a place you're not normally going to be at. You go away, it probably will stay there. And you're done with it. Home? Well, you may have to deal with this more often than not. You don't know when it's going to come or go unless you actually leave your home. But at least you know what's you have around you, some comfort and comforting things around you, albeit objects. Interesting thought, isn't it? 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Caesar calling from Whittier, California. I just got done hearing your guys' Elmo episode. I like how you guys said that you guys like haunted dolls. I like haunted dolls too in the stories, but I hate it when it happens to you. I'm actually calling because I had two incidents that have to deal with the same house that I've called before. One of the things was that my mom used to have these two old porcelain jester dolls that she also used to keep inside of my room, because my sister had a small room, my room was bigger, but it was a haunted room technically. She would always put the porcelain dolls, and she would keep stuff in my closet on the top shelf, and I used to hate these dolls so much that I used to make sure I couldn't see them, or they were tipped over. And, you know, their faces wouldn't be looking at me from where I was sleeping. I would try to close the door, you know, the closet door, but the closet door wouldn't always work. So I would just make sure that they're facing the other way, or, you know, knocked down as if they were, like, on their backs. But it's like, occasionally I would leave and come back, and they would be sitting up again on the edge of the... Well, the cause, it would happen so many times that I used to blame my sister for it, because she knew I hated them. I used to tell my mom that I hate them so much that I didn't want them in my room, but she said, she would always tell me that, well, it doesn't matter because, I mean, you have the most room. I don't want to put them in the, you know, in the garage because they can get broken because they're porcelain dolls, you know? And I used to always beg and beg, you know, somebody tell me who was doing it, you know, tell me like where I can put them because I don't want them in my room. I'm so done with these dolls. It was one of the things, I mean, it was a minor thing that happened all the time, but it's like in this house things didn't always, you know, didn't always seem right, and that was one of the things that always happened. And it's like, I don't know if they knew, you know, there was something there that felt that it knew that I was scared of them, so it would always constantly do that. But it was one of the things that always happened. You know, like, I leave for the day for school in the morning, I would come back and they're back though. They're, you know, they're back sitting on the couch, on the top shelf, looking at me. Or I would go to sleep and sometimes even when I was sleeping, when I would wake up, it's like they would be sitting on the top shelf. You know, their feet would dangle. It was, they were like the they would sit up, their hands were down, and their feet would dangle. That's what, and that's how they would stay up. It was so creepy. So I feel like they were haunted. I mean, that's my opinion. And no matter what I would ask, to, you know, to my family, they would they never knew what I was, you know, talking about. They always thought I was just trying to get them out of my room because they were kind of creepy. Even my sister didn't want them. So that was one of the things that always happened in my house. Another thing that used to happen that I kind of regret doing now was, it was back when Toy Story came out and the actual giant toys came out, the one, the Woody and the Buzz Lightyear, and I wanted them so much. I got them for Christmas. After getting them for Christmas, I used to play with them all the time, and then after a while, you know, being a kid, I got tired of them, so I just left them in the closet. And occasionally, it would turn on. You know, they would be like, "You're my favorite deputy," or, you know, like, "To infinity and beyond." And I would just, you know, the batteries are probably dying out, and I would just leave it be. But after a couple of years, I mean, we ended up having to move, so we were doing a yard sale. Before the yard sale, though, it would start doing more frequently. So I started thinking maybe it's the batteries more often, and, you know, it would creep me out, but I would just be like, okay, it's, you know, it's the batteries. Let me just take them out so that it doesn't happen anymore. After a while, it started happening at night when I was trying to fall asleep. It almost felt like they would interact with each other, because it'd be like, "You're my favorite deputy," and, you know, it's like Buzz would say something right after, and then Woody would say something. Like, it was a couple times where it felt like they would just continuously say stuff. I mean, I don't understand. There's no batteries in it. Like, my daddy should just tell me, like, "Oh, no, it's probably because you play with them so long that it's just your imagination." And I wouldn't believe it. It got to the point where they would just do it. And one of my cousins came over. He slept over at my house, and he was able to hear it. And he actually went into the closet, got the toys, and when he picked up Woody toy, it spoke, and he didn't pull the string or anything, and there was no batteries in it. So he dropped it, he ran out of my room, he left me in there, and he started crying because he doesn't understand why it happened. It was almost like that scene in the movie where, I mean, his head didn't move around or anything, but he just said something, so it freaked them out. After that, I said I couldn't have these toys anymore. I mean, it was really, really freaky that when that yard sale actually came out, I sold them for $1 each. At the moment, I didn't care who took them. There was a kid that wanted them both. I said, "Go ahead, take them." He said, "I only had $1.50. I told him, "It's fine, just give me $1 for both." These toys were expensive back then, and I didn't care because of how freaked out I was. I just wanted to get them out of there. you kind of feel bad now because, I mean, like, the dolls were probably haunted, or probably my house was haunted, probably maybe both. And I just gave them out to somebody that never knew anything. Kind of feel sad now, but those are two of my stories of that things that have freaked me out, dolls in general, that I've had in my life, and, you know, when I was younger, being things I did, you know, dolls I didn't like and dolls that I really loved. You know, I just wanted to call and tell you guys some of my doll stories. All right. Love you guys. You guys are awesome. Bye.
Well, that's creepy. It's the real life toy story going on in that house. It's funny because it sounds like he's a person who grew up watching that movie, and, you know, it's a cartoon, it's a work of fiction, and then the toys based on that story, this work of fiction, actually started acting out like the actual movie to a certain extent. Anytime you got the dolls that are running themselves without the batteries in. I don't know what to say or do. I wonder how much or how often items are passed along like that. At what a great deal. What a buy. Look at this great buy I got. And strange things started happening. The last thing that anyone thinks of is, oh, it's because I bought that discounted item the other day. You know, especially in an unsuspecting item like a toy. You know, people would suspect you know, an old armoire or piece of furniture or something of that nature that's aged and has, you know, some storied history behind it. Not necessarily an action figure of the last 10 to 15 years. It makes me start thinking about what about discount stores, you know, where they specialize in discounted items. Is there ever a lot of something that can't be sold that has a curse behind it? That's a little more out there, probably a little less likely to have a lot of Snapple being haunted or something of that nature. But, what a great buy. I guess it's something to think about when you're buying discounted items. I'm thinking more like flea market, craft fair, things of that nature. Let's go to Rebecca in Ohio. Hi.
Hey, guys. It's Lauren from Ohio again. I just heard my call on the podcast, and it was pretty awesome to hear my story told on the podcast for everyone to hear. But I just want to clarify that, Jenny, I really do believe with you, what you're saying and agree with you about how, you know, you can be in certain houses that you just have bad luck and you just, you know, like Tony said, you're drawn to it. But the truth is I've always been able to see things, and I see things, you know, every day, almost everywhere I go. I am insanely empathic. I can sense and feel things from, you know, anybody at any time. My emotions are always swayed as, you know, what other people are feeling at that time. And I have, I guess my first inkling of that was when I was young. I was driving through an intersection with my mother and I started bursting out crying. I was probably about 12 or 13 at the time, and I couldn't figure out why I was crying. I was just so sad. And later that day, we had found out there was actually a fatal accident in the intersection in which I started crying at, and I had no idea why I was crying, and I had no idea there was an accident. That was just my first experience. I mean, I understand that if you live in a house with a cemetery, you're obviously going to have, you know, action or interaction with ghosts and whatnot, but I actually knew what I was getting into going in. I remember I walked into the house to check it out before we actually signed the agreement with the landlord. And I didn't feel as if anything was malevolent or, you know, threatening. And I honestly don't believe it is. It's just the shock factor, I guess, of seeing it when you're least expecting it and when you're home alone. My boyfriend is not so much of a believer, but he takes my stories into consideration. He listens to what I have to say, and he believes me and what I can and can't feel. Another story I'll tell you is the house that I just recently moved out of was not haunted in any way or shape or form, and somehow I actually managed to have a spirit essentially find me, and would continually say hello clear as day in my ear every time I went down to the laundry room. And the house was built by my family. It was, you know, nobody had passed away. Nothing about it was pointing to being haunted. So I wasn't quite sure about that, but I like to think it's all positive. It's all positive spirits, and they just want to talk. My grandpa came through to me one day and actually followed me around for about a week till I relayed a message to my stepmother for him. Actually, I had no idea what the message meant, but as soon as I told my stepmother, she started to cry. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't really want it to be following me, but I think I'm an open book with that. I think they're attracted to me. I think they can find that I can see and hear them, so they, you know, look for me. And it's kind of like you guys always say, they're out there and they go, oh, look, she can see me. And they come to me. But I love being an EPP. I also love you guys as a couple. I think you guys are hilarious. And Jenny, I like the way that you keep Tony in check. And I love your accent. I am myself a little bit Southern background, so it's very close to home for me. So I'll try to call in more and tell you some more of my stories. I have a lot. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing those stories with us. It does hit close to home. It's kind of like we were just talking about before the previous caller. What would you rather have, a story that's really hitting close to home and something that is not necessarily escapable, or is it something that would be a little further out that you would prefer if you could pick your ideal haunting, you know? 855-853-4802. Josh, hi.
Hey, Tony, it's Josh again. There's a couple occurrences that I remember from the time me and my girlfriend first got together. Her grandmother owned a quilting shop in Sandwich, Illinois. And this was a couple years after her grandfather passed away. And we had to go there late one night and pick up some materials for her grandmother. Spooky shop. When you're there all alone by yourself at night. Kind of dark. And the shop had doorbell in the middle of the room, so in case nobody's there to give you attention, you can ring it and they'll come up front. So when we were there late one night, it was probably 10 o'clock at night, I was talking to her. I was like, you know, we should probably hurry up, it's kind of spooky out here. And she's like, yeah, okay. And she's looking for her stuff, and I'm like, you know, wouldn't it be kind of crazy, you know, if anything happened, you know, your grandpa, you always say your grandpa's watching you. You know, he's probably here right now, so. And then right as I said that, this doorbell goes on. Ding dong. And I'm like, wow, let's go, let's go. And starts going off again. Ding dong, ding dong. These brand new batteries, brand new everything in there, and kind of freaked us out. A couple years later, we did move down to Southern Illinois, and I remember one time, girlfriend at the time, she's my wife now, I guess I'll just refer to her as my wife. She calls me while I'm at work. She goes, were you just home? And I was like, no, I haven't been home since, you know, 7:30 this morning. And this was around noon. And she goes, well, I just woke up and I swore I heard the vacuum cleaner going. And I got up, and the vacuum cleaner's in the middle of the room, and it's unplugged. So, kind of freaking me out. A couple days later, my wife, she was cleaning up the house while I was gone at work, before she had to leave. And she had the music blasting, like we always like it, and she starts hearing the volume go up and down, up and down. She goes over, and she looks at the stereo, it's a big house stereo. And you can watch. The knob wasn't spinning, but you can see the scale of the volume on the screen. And she was watching it increase to max all the way down to zero. Max to zero. Max to zero. And she took this kind of a sign, so she turned off that CD and put in another, and everything was fine. A couple weeks after that, we got into a little bit of an argument. And I was remodeling some of the house. This kind of freaked me out because you're just exchanging some unfavorable words, and I had a door leaned up against the wall. I was putting in new doors in the house, and it was been leaned there for 2 days, no problem. I went and sat down on the couch next to it after walking away from this heated discussion we've been having, and the door just falls over and hits me in the back of the head. So hard, like somebody shoved it. So I took that as I was being a little bit of a, you know, a-hole. But these occurrences, they keep happening. Like I said before, when I got out of the shower one time, the sink faucet was going full blast, both knobs turned all the way, or the light bulbs going out. And they're not just that they're old light bulbs, they're being turned. And this traveled with us back up to Northern Illinois, which kind of creeps me out because when my father died, I cremated him. And I have all his old belongings, and I have them with me. And I just think he's trying to give me signs and tell me, but I don't know what he's trying to tell me. It does sometimes freak you out. The other night, we were sitting there. I don't know if you have an Xbox, or you know how the Xbox works. We had the controller on. We're watching a movie, and the controller disconnects and pauses the movie and stops the movie at a certain spot, and the controller linked up to number 2. It was originally linked up to the first player position, but the other controller that I have doesn't have batteries in it. It was not connected, was not turned on, and the movie started playing again without anybody touching it. It was like somebody took over the controller. It freaks you out a little bit. I know none of this stuff seems that scary or frightening. It just seems like it just happens. But out of nowhere, things like this just does happen. Maybe it's a current, I don't know what you would call it. But thank you again for taking my call. If I can think of any other stories that's been happening to me, my wife would be the first one to tell me, oh, you forgot to tell them this. You love your show. Tony, Jenny, you keep Tony in line. He gets a little out there sometimes. But you guys have a great day. Thank you for taking my call, and I love your show. I can't wait. Oh, there's one thing I wanted to say, though. The guy down in Florida that you keep saying he's doing bath salts, as the guy says, they did a study on him, and he actually didn't have anything in his system, no bath salts, nothing. So you take from that what you will. I kind of think, might either have a zombie or a mental issue, but double check that. Have a good day, guys. See you later. Love your show. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your stories with us. When in doubt, just assume zombie. That's what I like to do. Rule out everything else immediately, whether or not you feel you should. Just go right with zombie. That's always the accurate answer. That's what I like to do anyway. Thank you for the stories. Interesting how the doorbell rings right when you say, this is going to be something. This is going to be how they're going to communicate, and bam, doorbell rings. I have a clock in my office that was my grandparents' clock. It was in their home. And I've recently discovered how to turn the ringer off on it. The clock, ding, 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 ding. It does it every hour on the hour. You can't choose, only do it at midnight and only do it at, noon or something like that. I would leave it on if it could do that, but it's every hour on the hour. Then it dings the hour. And being in a studio setting, it's not the best the best thing. And for a while, I just had it off because I didn't realize I could actually turn that ringer off, but I turned it to the off position. And wouldn't you know, the other night after I turned it off, it didn't. I have wondered, though. I have been thinking, if one of them wants to make themselves known to me, that they're there watching or looking at, that would be quite the way to do it, to make that clock do its sound, that its signature sound that it's known for. Because every time I hear it, I have flashbacks to my childhood and playing in their home, because it rang so every hour on the hour. So holidays, just being a child playing over there, during the day, if I was being watched by my grandparents, it's a very comforting sound. So I never want to take that ringer out or change it, but at the same point, I can't have it ringing all the time either. You were really thinking I was going to say, and then it started ringing. Unfortunately, no one hasn't. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Officer P. Calling from the greater Chicagoland area, police officer on the suburbs. I want to say, first off, I love you guys' show. Do a great job, especially I get to listen to them when I'm out of patrol and night, nobody's around. You guys set the mood for me. Anyway, I just wanted to call in and share a couple of stories about the house I'm currently living in. First of all, I'll give you a little bit of backstory about the house. It's my grandfather's. My grandfather passed away in 2000 when I was 13. He left the house to me and my brother. Well, since we were 13, he was 15 at the time. My parents took the reins and rented it out for a few years. Come 2007, we were moving into the house, and I was the first one out there. And I moved in. I was living there alone for about 3 months before my brother eventually moved in. Anyway, the first week that I was there, I was doing my pre-bed door check. I'm borderline OCD. I won't be able to go to sleep before I can make sure all the doors are locked in the house. So I'm checking the house, and there's three exterior doors in the house, one in the basement, one facing south, and one facing north on the second floor. And the last one I check is the north-facing second floor door that's on the sun porch. I go check the door. It's all buttoned up. And I turn around to walk back from the kitchen and down the hall to my room. As I was turning around, I caught the outline of a figure. I was sitting in a chair that we had out there, one of my grandfather's old sun porch smoking chairs, to use a pipe smoker. That was his self-built little smoking lounge. So, quickly stop. Have that moment of deer in the headlights where I'm frozen. I turn real slow to look, and I see what looks like my brother sitting in the chair. But it wasn't my brother. I knew that for a fact. He was out of town that weekend. He was two states away. So I'm sitting there petrified, thinking there's someone sitting in my room. I'm trying to think of what I'm going to do. And I look back at him, we lock eyes, and he's got this real gray tone to him, and he just kind of smiles. So I was petrified. I couldn't think, couldn't move, couldn't react. So then blink twice, real slow. And by the time I blinked the second time, he vanished. He's gone. And I stood there, looking in the room for a few seconds to see if maybe he moved or something, if he was actually still there. No, it's gone. So I go back to my bedroom and lock the bedroom door. And I stayed awake all night just listening and seeing if anything was going to happen. I had this, my grandfather actually left me we found in his house after he passed away. A 1920s police billy club. I was hanging onto that all night, just waiting to see if I heard anything. So I eventually passed out way later that night. So then next day I woke up, and then I remember seeing my grandfather's wedding photo from all those years ago. It's a splitting image of my brother. So I put two and two together and realized that was probably the ghost of my grandfather. And then a couple of weeks went on, and so I was still living up there by myself. I finally moved most of my stuff in there. I finally got my TV in my bedroom, and so I had something to watch and something to pass the time. And one night, kind of off track here. It's been one hell of a night. Usually I fall asleep to DVDs because we didn't have cable hooked up at the house yet, and we were still in the process of that. So I had my DVD player hooked up to my TV, and that's what I throw a DVD in as I was falling asleep for the night, and that was that. And usually I would fall asleep and the DVD still be going, and then eventually the DVD player would turn itself off and just leaving a blue screen emanating from my television. And one night I woken up several hours after the DVD player had turned off, blue light of my television, and in my room I only had a few things. I had my bed a dresser that had my TV on top of a few drawers, and I had a kitchen chair where I kept all my folded clean laundry. And I hadn't really gotten too much of an organizational structure in there, still kind of settling in, and it was what it was. And I woke up to the blue screen of the television cascading light on when I saw someone sitting in a chair right next to my door. The door was closed, locked. So there's no way anyone came in unless I've heard them. They forced their way in the room. So it was the same fate. It was the same person I saw that at the first week when I moved into the house. Was just sitting in the chair, smiling, rocking back and forth. And this time I thought to speak to it. I said, kind of got up shakily and had to try a couple times before words actually came out. But and I said, hey, Grandpa, is that you? Is that you? And he just smiled and nodded at it. It's like he leaned forward and was going to say something, but maybe he just vanished. He was gone. And those were the two instances where I actually saw him, that I personally saw him. And when everyone moved into the house and everyone was living there, we always smell these very distinct pipe tobacco smell. Because he used to buy this certain kind of pipe tobacco from someone in the city in downtown Chicago, on the Polish neighborhood, this very distinct pipe tobacco that was like some hickory cherry wood flavor I will remember until the day I die, and we'll just get phantom whiffs of that. It's multiple family members. It's me, my mom, my brother, lots of different people. Of course, my father. These are his parents. He thinks we're all full of shit. So, the last instance with this house I'll share with you tonight. We had a band going, me and my brother, a few other buddies of ours, and we, before anyone really moved up to the house in early 2007, we used the house, the basement as practice space for the band. It was a half-sunk basement. It was perfect. No one would complain about the sound. We could practice as much as we want. I suppose what it was. Anyway, it was one night where everyone was, meeting up, or everyone was trickling in, and I was there, and the drummer was there, and my brother was there. And we were all in the basement, just planning out the practice and just, talking, shooting shit. And the guitar player in the band was keenly late. And he would show up late to practice almost every time, touch a clock by it. But I hear him come in, and he doesn't come into the basement like he usually does. He opens the door and walks straight upstairs. I hear him open the kitchen door, say, hello, hello, hello. Anyone home? And we yell up to him, hey, we're down here. Comes downstairs and says, oh, I thought you guys were upstairs. I know. All three of the people in the house are downstairs. Why would you think that? And he says, oh, I saw you talking to me. He said, oh, I thought I saw your brother standing looking down at me from the window on the porch. And I just kind of smile and look at him. I'm just like, well, you just met my grandpa. I think he likes you. So, and that made the hair on his back of his neck stand up for a little bit. He was a little bit weary being in that house alone from that point forward. But these are all good experiences. And yeah, I hope to hear it on the show. I got some more stories for in the house with my family. Is terrible houses. I'll call back with some of those later. Again, keep up the good work, guys. Love the show. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story, and thank you for your service to our communities. Our officers out there have one hell of a job on their hands, and we salute you. I got a lot of family who are police officers, and we certainly support and care about you guys quite a bit. 855-853-4802. That's one one hell of a house. Can you imagine? Can you imagine like constantly having that going on, and just all the interesting things? Basically, anytime anything odd happens in your home, you almost would just attribute it immediately, right, to it's Grandpa. Yeah. Fridge is open, but it's Grandpa. Heard people talk, it's Grandpa. Cat's missing a leg, it's Grandpa. He was hungry. He likes cats. It's okay. Oh, yes. Thank you for listening to another episode of our program. Of course, there's a whole bunch of bonus episodes. Brand new material. If you've never been an EPP, these are brand new episodes for you. And there's a lot of them, okay? 30 to 40 of them right up there, ready for you to get when you become an EPP. It's only $5 a month. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and you get all those bonus episodes. You get the satisfaction. This is what I like, personally. It's keeping our show alive, so it allows us to continue doing the show, because our costs of producing and getting this thing out there, bandwidth-wise, it's going up because we have more listeners, which is awesome, but we need the support to continue the show forward. So if you like it, yeah, throw a little in the coffers and put a little wind in our sales, if you would, and sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person at Real Ghost Stories Online. Please and thank you in advance. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.